Welcome. I'm Christina Michelle, inviting you to join me for Culture Rich Conversations, an ongoing feature of Juno Afternoon. Coming up on our show, I'll share our big why we're doing this show, what exciting things we were up to during our summer off. I'll even share a couple of our favorite clips from season two and give a sneak peek of what's to come for season three. I'll also be joined by a panel of guests to have a lively discussion about today's hot topics in Black culture. From KTOO in Juneau, this is Culture Rich Conversations.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
The Black Awareness Association would like to take a moment to recognize that Culture-Rich Conversations is broadcast from Tsimshian Anyi, the homeland of the Tsimshian. We acknowledge those families who made use of this land and its waterways for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and future generations.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. Today's episode is the first show of season three, and we are so excited. To get started, I'm going to share three of our favorite clips from season two. A couple of them are on Black hair when we talked about those topics, and they were rather entertaining. And one is from Reverend Bobby sharing on spiritual songs and why they're so important to us. So you'll hear them now.
Can you, for our listeners who don't know what grease is, they're probably sitting there like, what are they talking about? And I'll just add, I took a trip to further up north. I believe it was either Kotzebue or Bethel. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten which one. And I forgot my hair products. And at the time, I had a jerry curl. Okay, we might have to explain what that is, okay? And I didn't bring any of my Black hair products. And I walked the aisles of the store there, and there was not even any Vaseline that I could use. And so I ended up getting some Crisco oil. And I used that in my hair for the week.
Yeah. You probably could have used some olive oil too, right?
I wouldn't even think about olive oil.
Or a hat.
Yeah, so if you could, you know, just explain what grease is so that our audience would know exactly
hilarious.
What we're talking
hair grease. Sunny forehead on Easter Sunday. So you hit a good point. Historical-wise, within our culture, African-American culture, instead of the oils that was used from the motherland, pre-history lesson, pre-Atlantic slave trade and chattel slavery, we had the tools and the natural resources to, and the environment to support not only our hair texture, but our scalp, our skin. And when all that is stripped from you, you become an ingenuity on things that is going to get you through. So fast forward so many years, you are scarves to working in the fields, protecting your hair from spiders and bugs while you're working in the fields or going to bed, and then you're using leftover fat from some type of meat that you cooked to lubricate your scalp or your hair to detangle it. So that proceeding into so many years now, just re-engineering certain type of oils that we can put on our hair just to be able to style it, just to detangle it, and then proceed with styling and everything like that. So that's kind of like the history of Greece. So when you said Crisco, that is history. That's ancestors coming out. That's beautiful.
Okay, what about a weave?
Oh, my.
There's all different kinds of weaves, because you can have the weave that you glue in. And you can have a weave that, like, they braid our hair and then they sew in, like, I don't know how to describe it. It looks like hair on a line and it comes really long.
They're called tracks.
They're called tracks. Mm-hmm. And you sew the track into their hair. Mm-hmm. If it's a human hair, really good track, you can use it a few times. When we talk about hair, I need Judo to understand this, because, Juno, you guys get really upset about people's hair and how much they spend on it. We spend a lot of money on hair.
Yeah, we do.
When we're talking about tracks, we're talking about buying hair per ounce.
Right.
And we're talking about $200 an ounce of hair.
Yeah.
Which is maybe a fourth of your head.
Yeah.
So we're talking maybe 6 to 10 ounces of hair, depending on how full you want your wig, which could cost you anywhere from $400 to $10,000, depending on the hair, the color, if it's virgin hair, if it's ever been cut before, is it Indian hair, is it Brazilian hair?
Yeah.
Like, all of that matters.
And then on top of that, we have to buy a plane ticket and a hotel in order to get it
installed
in our heads.
And then we have to pay the person who's going to install
it. So it's a big deal.
It's
really a big deal.
What is it about gospel music that keeps bringing us back? Why are we still singing songs that our grandparents sang? Why do you think there's such an emotional connection between Black people and gospel music?
What a great question.
Thank you.
Well, it goes beyond the genre of gospel. It goes back to spirituals.
Okay.
And spirituals are religious, it's religious music with encouraging tones of a better life.
Can you give them a few examples? What are some popular spirituals?
A popular spiritual is Steal Away. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus. Steal away. Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. It was giving it strength. And in heaven, I got shoes, you got shoes, all of God's children got shoes. Shoes were, it was such a rich thing to have. And we're in the dirt, we're in the dust working. But imagine in heaven, I bet we're going to have a robe and shoes and a crown. We're going to have position. So spirituals are just an inspiration, whether it's from a spiritual beat in Africa. There were drums for somebody just had a baby. Mm-hmm. Somebody's getting married. There were drum rhythms for everything, and they just brought it over with them here.
I just love taking a trip down memory lane and listening to those clips. And I'm so excited for what we have coming up for this season as well. Couple updates that I want to share before we get into our roundtable discussion with our guests. While we were off for the summer, we were working on lots of great things for the upcoming season. One thing that we do want to share is that we received a grant from the Alaska Community Foundation, which allowed us to hire a producer, and we got some host and producer training from Jen White, who is with 1A. So that was a really big plus for us, and we are so excited about how that's going to just elevate the show and the experience for our listeners, and we can't wait to see how that plays out. Speaking of the producer that we hired, her name is Natasha Boozer, and we want to just say thank you to her for joining our team with the Black Awareness Association of Juneau. Natasha has been a longtime supporter, and she also grew up here in Juneau, Alaska, and so she is very connected and tied to our community, and we're very happy to have her join us. Another thing that is exciting is that we really got to discuss, as we move forward with Culture Rich Conversations, what exactly we are bringing to the show and what it is that we want to do. And what we all really looked at and decided is that our mission is to highlight the Black lived experience. And in doing that, we want to have a two-way conversation with our listeners. We want you to feel like you're kind of, you know, maybe a fly on the wall sometimes, like hearing a conversation that maybe you would have never heard before. But we also want you to reach out to us and let us know, you know, what you think about the topics that we're discussing. And if there's things that you want to hear more about, we definitely want to know that. So we're going to be updating our website where there'll be information there and a way to contact us. We always are available on Facebook and via email, and I'll share that contact information at the end of the show. And finally, I want to share some topics that you can look forward to for this season. We've got an election show, and we're going to be talking about voting from the Black perspective. We're going to talk a little bit more about our hair. Our hair has a story, part three. And this time we'll be going more in depth into cornrows, the history of cornrows, why they're so important to the Black community. We're going to talk a little bit about toxic masculinity. We did do that last season, and we got a lot of feedback, so we're going to do part two with that. And to that, we're going to add toxic femininity, especially in the Black female culture. We're going to talk about healthcare for Blacks, Black children in sports, and then the BMI and Black bodies, BMI being body mass index, and how it translates differently for African-American bodies. We are going to talk about mental health awareness, human trafficking, and one of my favorites I'm looking forward to is love in Alaska. And we're going to hear from some interracial couples here and their experience here in Alaska. So lots to look forward to. If you're just joining us on Culture Rich Conversations, I'm Christina Michelle. And coming up, I have a roundtable panel of guests, and we will be discussing today's hot topics in Black culture. After a quick break, we'll be right back with you.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund grant program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. Joining us this afternoon for a roundtable discussion of today's hot topics in Black culture are Mahogany Magnetic from Anchorage, Alaska, RJ Bradley from Sacramento, California, and Natanya Boozer from Parkland, Florida. Welcome, everyone. So our guests are joining us via Zoom, and I'm going to give them an opportunity to unmute and say hello.
Hey, everybody out there. MC Mahogany Magnetic from the land of Jemina, a.k.a. Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Mahogany. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. RJ, are you connected? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. So RJ Bradley from Sacramento, California. Went to high school in Juneau, so everything's good.
Excellent. Thank you, RJ. And Natanya.
Hi.
Hi. All right, so the gang's all here. Let's jump into it. Let's talk about the Woman King. So I'm just going to read a quick little synopsis for those who maybe don't know the history of The Woman King. It's a movie. In the 1800s, a group of all-female warriors protects the African kingdom of Dahomey with skills and fierceness unlike anything the world has ever seen. Faced with a new threat, General Naniska trains the next generation of recruits to fight against a foreign enemy that's determined to destroy their way of life. Viola Davis plays the lead warrior. So we know this movie is not 100% factual, and we also know that the creators of this film decided to portray an altered, fictionalized version of the story. Nevertheless, moviegoers have flocked to theaters in order to see it and judge it for themselves. What are your thoughts on this film?
So me, this is RJ Bradley. I love the film. Based off of, it still holds a lot of weight to the community and to the Black homes to today. A lot of people look at the film and was like, you know, based off of everything that was going on, it might not hold factual, but when you look at the woman in a Black home, she is a queen, which is that man's, you know what I'm saying, that man's queen of that house. So you can see how much she'll go or how much they will go to protect their home. And the measures that they'll take to protect their home. It was quite interesting because earlier in the movie, you can look at her as not being beneath him, but she was not sitting right next to him. And then as he began to listen to what she was saying and what needs to be done, he then brought her on at the end of the movie where now she's sitting right next to him. And it takes, you know, in order to run a kingdom, you got to be on the same page. And so I think when you look at it in just a Black home by himself, you know, there's the woman is normally stronger than the man when it comes to, you know, certain situations, like when it comes to, you know, the way that you look at certain situations, a man will react faster sometimes than a woman will. She will look at the whole picture and then bring that to her man to allow him to be able to, you know, look at it in a different light to be able to take care of home. So when I looked at the movie, I looked at it way deeper than just it wasn't being factual. It still hold a lot of weight in the African community today.
Nice. Thank you, RJ. Any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, I hear you, RJ. I hear you. But I'm like, it's just an old conversation, like a 20th century conversation to me to talk about gender roles and everything. But what I dig most about this film was the fact that we have it. Hollywood did not have to do this. Hollywood could have did a Gladiator. It could have did a very polished wash over. It could have been, you know, Viola Davis King. It didn't have to be the Woman King. It could just have been all Viola Davis. It's all you've ever known in this movie. Meaning that Hollywood did not even have to give us any historical facts at all. We see a lot of historical dramas like this depicted in film. And many times they don't come close to, like, you know, even touching history. But the beautiful thing is, it's like finally, publicly, the conversation about Africans being involved in the transatlantic slave trade, it needs to be there. It needs to be there. I've been a historian, a scholar, you know, like all my life. I'm like 46 years old now. And every single time you get to talking about Africa, there's always some white person, usually an old white, crusty white man in the crowd talking about, didn't Africans sell each other into slavery? I was like, yes. And now we can just say yes. And like, let's move on with the conversation, because really what we're talking about is in Africa, pre-colonial Africa and other, you know, civilizations around the world, there was no peculiar institution such as slavery in America. You know, you could become enslaved and still become the queen. You can still become the king. You can still become top. And just about any culture prior to what was introduced in America. So our idea of enslavement was not what Europeans had, was not what those Portuguese had in mind, where your grandchildren, your aunts, your descendants are slaves before they even are born, or even like seeds in the womb and everything. So it's like, we have a conversation. The fact that we can talk about this, like, I appreciate this much conversation. Yes, debate on about the Woman King. Woo, woo, woo.
Well, Well, I will say that this is a quote from the director of the movie. The new film about the Agoge all-female African army allows women to look up on screen and see themselves heroic, not as superheroes, but real women. I want us to know that we will still have so much to fight. I'm sorry, we still have so much fight to go, but that we can do it together. So, Mahogany, I do agree with you. I think, you know, that mission was accomplished. There was so much good that came out of it, whether, you know, it was all factual or not.
Yeah. Now, the real question is, what's the conversation going to be when Wakanda Forever comes out?
Well, that's the real... now, that takes us right to the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I'm a writer. I love fiction. And I'll take fiction nowadays any time over history. Well, you know, the actual telling of things, because the essence of the story is really what we want. But wait till November, 19th or whatever, and stuff, how people go buck wild. And the film probably could be really crappy. You know what I'm saying? It's not even going to matter or whatever. It's like, and then we won't even talk about the One Bikini no more, because you got some, you know, beautiful illustration of what Africa could have been. Anyways.
Well, so, you know, that is the question. What are we most looking forward to with the release of the sequel to The Black Panther?
I'm looking forward to who's taking the helm. You know, so who's taking the mantle of Black Panther, and it should be the sister Shuri's next in line. You know, but I do know in the comic books or whatever, you know, Black Panther, you know, it's just a role, right? So anyone can play that role who claims the throne. So it's gonna be nice to see, you know, saying a woman filling out the suit and everything. Like, it's gonna be nice. I can't wait. You know what I'm saying? So I got my cat suit. Now I'm gonna be Wakanda Forever. And I'm just gonna be walking around the house, you know, just out, you know, Midtown of Northern Lights on a Tuesday, rocking my cat suit, because I'm like Black Panther woman. So yeah, it's like all kinds of pride there for me.
Natanya, what are your thoughts about Black Panther and the sequel coming out? What are you specifically looking forward to, if anything?
Well, when I saw the first one, I was really excited to see a Black superhero. but for the next one, I'm curious on where they're going to take the story from the original. You know, it was about somebody that was part of the culture left, and or not the culture, but, you know, having the power and part of the family and everything. He left and his son came back for revenge and whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, where are they going to take it from that? You know, he did come to the United States to help when they didn't the whole time. And now they have the opportunity to do it. So I'm curious how they're going to take it from that to, so the sister was next in line, to how she's going to push it forward and everything like that.
All right. So are we dressing up? Is this a thing? Are we going out like debuting?
I think we should. Why not? It'd be fun. I'll get my claws and everything.
I think we should, too. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about the Black Little Mermaid. So Halle Berry is the new face of the Little Mermaid. This caused an uproar in some circles. However, in others, it was a welcome breath of fresh air. What is your take on the controversy surrounding Disney's updated version of The Little Mermaid? Why do we care about this?
I'm excited, because when I first heard about it, oh, they're making a Black Mermaid, I said, no, they not. I was like, that's a rumor. No, they not. And then when I saw her posted on her Instagram, I was like, what? No way. And then I saw all these parents showing their children, their little daughters, and she was like, she's brown like me, or she's Black like me. I was like, this is what Disney missed out on, what they could have done in the first place, you know, to show everybody being a princess, everybody being something special. And when I was talking to somebody about it, she told me, well, the original Ariel was Norwegian. And I'm looking at her like, when you saw this movie, you can't spell Norwegian, so get out of here. I was like, It's, first of all, it's a fictional character. Who cares? We can take it wherever we want to in real life. Like when the Cinderella with Brandy and Whitney Houston came out, it was a good movie. So yeah. Who cares what color anybody was?
I agree, I'm really excited. Me too.
For Halloween, I have my fin and everything. I'm going to be a mermaid for her because she's doing such an amazing thing for our community.
Oh, I love that, Natanya. RJ, let me ask you, I think you have a daughter. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Does that influence your thoughts at all about representation in movies for little girls of color?
Well, for me, with my daughter is that it's good to see that they're able to see a woman of color play parts of, you know, characters that we grew up on that was predominantly white. Now they actually get to see, you know, the rewrite of most of them. I mean, that's just like the thing when we, you know, first got a black president, you know, a lot of our grandparents have felt that they would never be able to see that.
Yeah.
But because now they was able to see it, you have a lot of more African Americans are now more into politics than they used to ever be, because now they feel like there's a chance that they can make it, that they can do it. So now when you start seeing, you know, fictional characters that we grew up on watching that's now, you know, changing to African American, I think it allows our little girls to see that they can achieve other things besides the norm, or besides the, you know, the statistics on where most, you know, African Americans look at in life. So I think it's a good thing, you know, for my daughter. I mean, forgot who she just said she wanted to be, but it was like it was a black princess. So that's what she wanted to be for Halloween. So in a sense, you know, most of the time they wouldn't have never picked that because they would have never thought a princess could be black.
That's
so
right.
I think it's a good thing. It's a good outlook now, you know, just in the community by themselves.
Well, yeah, and I'm thinking back to when I was probably maybe your daughter's age or younger. I used to use a towel. Like I would get a white towel and figure out how to, you know, attach it to my head, and that would be my hair. I'd pretend that it was like blonde hair because I was dressing up, and, you know, I didn't have any representation of anybody on TV to dress up like who had hair like mine. So I had to figure out how to make myself, you know, halfway look like what I saw on TV. And I'm so glad that we've come like way beyond that now. This is huge. All right. Well, let's talk about Rihanna and the Super Bowl halftime show. So Rihanna is a Barbadian singer, actress, and businesswoman. Her biggest hits are among some of her biggest hits are Umbrella, Ella, Ella, Rude Boy, and Diamonds, just to name a few. Back in 2019, Rihanna stated that she would never work with the NFL and perform in the halftime show because she didn't want to be a sellout, also saying the organization didn't represent her people. Now some people are calling her a hypocrite for deciding to perform in the halftime show next year. Is she a hypocrite? Why or why not?
You know, I think a big part of the problem is people have too much time on their hands. You know what I'm saying? I guess we're still in the pandemic, people sitting at home or whatever and got to, you know, like, yo, you upset about the Little Mermaid last week. Now you're going to be upset about Rihanna in the Super Bowl this week. And I'm like, yo, you know what I'm saying? We just went through a pandemic. Didn't she just have a baby, right? I would do everything I can to be taking care of my baby. Yeah, okay, I know. I said I wasn't going to do the Super Bowl back in 2019, but the girl got mouths to feed right now, you know? And what we lose out here is missing the idea of choice. We all have choice. And it's important that we as women understand we have choices. And people can change their mind. And it's like, A-okay. And the part was like, that was 2019. That was pre-George Floyd, pre-Breonna Taylor, right? And so, and since then, white folks been trying to do the good, you know, do the right thing. Oh my gosh, the summer of 2020 was like so nice, you know what I'm saying? Doors is open for me and everything, you know? Like, yo, Mahogany, be a part of this conversation. Mahogany, come, we like you, black people in style, right? And so things have changed. We have more opportunity and space or whatever. And I know for me as an artist, performer, dealing with some of the white organizations in Anchorage, it's like I wouldn't mess with them at all, you know, prior to 2020. But now, like, some of them, like, yeah, you know, they sing an Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I found, right? Which is, you know, which is a slavery song or whatever. So now they feeling it, right? So some of them are genuinely trying to make change for the better. So I was like, or I give it a different thought in terms of my conversation, but I'm going to get on the stage with you. I don't know Rihanna like that. She hasn't called me ever, you know, and stuff like this. We're not friends. We don't go, like, hang out on Northern Lights and Spinard. So I don't know Rihanna like that. What's going through her mind? But it's like, whatever. She can change. I mean, but we all sell out every day, right? You know?
Well,
it's a truth that we don't want to often admit, but it's real. So whatever choices she make, that's cool with me. Like, I'm still going to watch her the Super Bowl, but really for me, and I'm going to stop here, the Super Bowl, a.k.a. Janet Jackson Appreciation Day.
I don't think she's a... Janet Jackson Appreciation Day. I don't think she's a sellout at all, because she's actually acknowledging that there has been change. I don't know how much you guys keep up with, you know, the NFL, but they're starting to hold it accountable. And so back, you know, when she said she wasn't going to do it, but it's all, you know, due to the Colin Kaepernick situation, taking a knee and so on and so on. So now at that in particular time, okay, nobody wanted to perform. Nobody wanted to be involved based off of how they was treating Colin Kaepernick due to, you know, his stands that he was putting in, still some of the stands that the other NFL players was doing. Now that it came to a point where now that they're holding owners accountable, where people are getting fired for racist emails they sent 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL is trying, they are trying to establish a change. It's not going to happen overnight. It's always going to be a fight. But they are trying. And you know what I'm saying? And of course, there's always going to be racism hidden beyond it. It's always going to be someone that has a hidden agenda. But if you're out here trying, that's all we ask for. And as a community, yeah, we have to recognize they're trying. So now we have to try as well. You know, so I feel they're on doing it. I mean, more power to it, because the simple fact that now she has a reason and they're trying. That's like somebody saying if everybody decided to go to the White House, you know, the Warriors just won it. If they go to the White House now, are they sellouts now because they didn't want to go when Trump was in office? Okay. No, they're not sellouts. They just didn't agree with who was there at the time. Mm-hmm. So at the time when she said that, she didn't agree with how they was handling the situation. Now that they're trying to handle those situations better, now I can be on board. So I think with everything else, with the movies and everything else, everybody is trying to make a change. So if they're going to change, we also got to change as well.
Exactly.
Well said, RJ. Natanya, any thoughts on this? I want to make sure your voice is heard too.
Well, before all of this, I actually had no idea that anybody felt this way about Rihanna or she said anything, because I only follow the Super Bowl. I only follow the Super Bowl is what I meant. I don't follow football like that. So I had no idea about any of this. But I think that it's like y'all were saying that people have nothing better to do than to complain about what other people are doing, so they don't have to focus on what's going on in their lives, so they don't have to fix, you know. It's like, who cares? She said it. Now she's performing. Get over it. You still gonna watch. You can say all that stuff, but you still gonna
You're
tune
still gonna
in
watch, and guess what? She's still gonna get paid. So
right.
Regardless of what you think. Yeah.
Right. So say that if you want to. I bet you're gonna be tuned in though.
Well, if you're just joining us, this is Culture Rich Conversations, and I'm Christina Michelle. We're having a roundtable discussion about today's hot topics in Black culture. Featured on our panel are Mahogany Magnetic, RJ Bradley, and Natanya Boozer. Jumping back in, let's just discuss the actor John Boyega. So John Boyega only dates Black women. And he is a Black British actor and producer. He is quoted saying, "I only date Black." Some are calling this statement racist. So the question is he racist for having this preference? Why or why not?
Well, everybody has a what Mahogany was saying earlier, everybody got choices. You know, everybody has a choice. He's not saying that any other race is not attractive to him. He's not saying that he doesn't look at any other race. What he's saying is, if I'm choosing to be in a relationship, I choose to date a Black woman. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just if anyone chooses, I mean, you got to choose who you fall in love with, or you got to choose on who you decide you want to date. I mean, that's me, for example. I've dated all races, but I chose to marry, you know, a Black woman. There was other people that I, you know, talked to and engaged with and had conversations with, and we was cool, but I just didn't feel that I wanted to, you know, marry someone outside of my race. But I don't feel that I'm being racist off of that. I just feel like I'm, you know, in a sense of just, that's just what I choose to do. That's my choice. It's my preference. I choose to have a kids by a Black woman. I choose to, I mean, that's my choice. So for someone to have a choice and be called racist based off of their choice, that's unfair, because that means anyone, like, in a sense, if you can be gay, they, you know, and if they choose to do that, or so now, you know, because of that, that means now we're going to look at that person in a different way because of that choice that they decided to make. No, that person is human. You can't choose who you fall in love with. That's just what it is, and that's what it is. You have a choice to do what you want to do. And so America has to get stop being so soft and get to a point that everybody has a choice. Just like every white person or Caucasian has a choice to marry a Caucasian. They have a choice to marry a Black man. They have a choice to marry a Black woman. It's up to them. They have that choice. So no one is racist based off of a choice that they want to make in life. You know, you got to be able to, you got to respect their opinion and move on from there.
All right. Thank you, RJ.
Hey. I just want to know who's mad. Who's these people? I mean, and I'm thankful for these people that are so mad. They're giving us some good prompts to work with, because, like, who's mad, right? Like, whatever. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's his choice. It's one. But who's mad, right? Because we used to have this conversation every time we see Black athletes with white women. You know, I'm like, yo, that's a problem with that. You know, so it's the same thing. It's like, who are these people that's mad? You know, these, once again, it's like too many people with things, you know, with time on their hands, right? I know one thing, every time I go out in public, whatever, I can't get no help because people don't want to come to work. Nobody's working. I guess because they're sitting at home watching this bull corn. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what's going on, because, like, really, why do we have to be upset and even, like, talking about, you know, this or whatever? John Boyega is, like, a great actor or whatever. He's living his life. So allow that to happen. And what difference does it make, unless he's marrying into your family? You know, then it might make a difference, right? Then it might make a difference. Like, well, you know, he's got some money. He was being in Star Wars, you know what I'm saying? I think he was in that movie Pacific Rim. I'm not really sure. But, yeah. Then it'll become a thing. Otherwise, what difference does it make? You know, like, enjoy your life, person. Enjoy your life, John Boyer. You know what I'm saying? Date as much as you want, whoever you want. But I would say that dating may be a choice, but I don't think love necessarily is always a choice. Like, what our heart, like, connects with and who it desires. So I think we always got to remain open, our hearts open, and not looking with our eyes. Because, like, that ain't telling the whole story about a person. So, who knows? John Boyega could be like Rihanna changing his tune up in, like, 4 years.
That's true.
And then we'll be back to this conversation. You remember when he said he only date Black women?
That is so true. Well, and I think that sometimes people see, I mean, myself included, like, I will sometimes look at people that I see in the media, and I see them in me. And so I want them to make a certain decision because I feel like it reflects me. And then when they make a decision that I wouldn't have made, then I feel like, dang, you know, like I lost a part of myself, which, I mean, I know that doesn't make any sense. But, like, as a culture and a society, I think that we all tend to look at certain people and, you know, I'm sure it's some type of projection there. But anyway, I think those are the people that care. They're like, you know, they probably do need other things to do And I do like how we keep coming back to the fact that everybody has, you know, a choice, and everybody should have the freedom to change their minds. So let's talk about Ketanji Brown Jackson and her first day on the Supreme Court. So this week marked Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's first time on the bench. Any thoughts about this and how she did? And, you know, this is, I will say, this is a big thing, and we probably can't really say how she did because we're not there and we're not in her position. But I think it goes back to what we were talking about with the movies and just the fact that it's happening at all.
Yeah. Has she made a vote yet? Because that's really what it gets down to, is the judge or whatever. So yeah. Has she made a vote that we're going to like? You know what I mean? Or has she voted? It's like, we don't know, because quite a few of those Supreme Court justices have changed their tunes, right? They've gotten up there and like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I'm for, you know, women's rights and abortion. The next thing, like, hell no, you're not going to. Did that do it again? I got to edit that again. Boom. They don't know, right? They're moving on. You know, to saying, speaking against what they actually stood up to. We really don't know yet what Ketanji's gonna do. I'm grateful to see this happen in my lifetime. You know, Black woman on Supreme Court, you know, that's major. I remember growing up in school, all I knew was Thurgood Marshall, you know, and I'm from Houston, Texas originally, you know, saying that's like, you know, Thurgood Marshall School of Law right there at Texas Southern University. So I'm looking forward to Ketanji Brown, even though I don't want to study law, but I would love to go visit my friends when they're on campus or something, you know? So I'm really, really, really happy about her her selection and appointment to the Supreme Court. And, you know, she's going to take us, like, deeper into the 21st century. But we'll see, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, Clarence Thomas, you know what I'm saying? Well, Rihanna, you know, Mermaid. Yeah. I think over time.
All right. Any other thoughts before I go to the next topic and then we're going to take a break?
Well, I think it's exciting to have different people in the justice system, you know, because stuff happening, we're not created by perfect people because we're not perfect people. So the system that we have to fix the problems of our country, it's better to have different people in it, you know, so that we can have different perspectives, maybe have things passed that wasn't thought about before because of the type of people that were up there before. So right. I think it's good to have different people from different places, different mindsets, different cultures to be up there. So I think it's a good idea.
Absolutely. Thank you, Natanya. All right, let's talk about body cams. So body cams for Alaska police. With the knowledge that Alaskans voted for police to wear body cams and knowing that the state of Alaska has collected tax dollars for it for 2 years, what are your thoughts regarding the fact that police have yet to wear body cams?
Where'd all that money go?
Where the money at?
Yeah, where the money at? If we spent all, or if we gave them all this money through taxes or whatnot, however they got it, why don't we see where our money went to? If it was supposed to be body cameras on them, then where are their cameras at? They shouldn't be in their office. They should be on their chest so we can see what they do.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but the last I checked, and I was really involved in this process of body cams for the Anchorage police, they have body cams. They have them, they purchased them, but they, for whatever reason, have chosen not to wear them. And so I think that's the question that we need to ask or whatever. If you got the body cams, what is the excuse for not putting them on? I know I'm on the internet now, so whatever I say is gonna be true. Right, because if it's on the internet, it must be true. But I really do think I remember, like, back in late 2020, early 21, that learning that they do have body cams that was purchased, but they don't use them. The other thing that I've learned here at working in the community as an activist is that the Anchorage Police Department here, they enjoy the 19th, 20th century technology. You know, if you go to them and you got like an issue, they're gonna give you your files on a CD-ROM. If no one's making CD-ROMs anymore. You can't, they don't know anything about a PDF or download. They don't have gunshot residue testing in Alaska. They're not interested in technology. They have a crime lab or whatever and stuff. And I took a class over there like last year, which is really cool. But they're not really, they're doing maybe like a fraction of what they can do with the, you know, the resources that they have. But they're choosing. This is a choice, I think, by the Anchorage Police Department not to step in the 21st century and use the technology that is available for better policing of our neighborhood. They're also heavily, like, understaffed. You know, if you really want to turn some stuff out, this is a good place to do it because there's not enough for them for the population of people in Anchorage. But, yeah, so it's like I've been looking forward to talking about this topic on police body cams. They really need to get with the program. I know they're not doing anything half the time, but checking to see if you're smoking marijuana or whatever. But please, have a body cam. Because if you catch me, you know what I'm saying, smoking a joint or whatever, and it goes, like, wrong, you know, I at least want to have some good footage or whatever, me going down, fighting the cops back. Because I was like, yo, you ain't taking me to jail no more. Now you're for jaywalking, you know. But I want that recorded, you right. know. I want that, you know, and it will help in so many ways, you know. But I guess when you're doing wrong or whatever, you don't want no light shining on you. Mm.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think he came up with a good point about, because I know when I was up here, I came from California, I moved up here, and the technology was way off from where we was at in California when I went up there. So I'm pretty sure that the technology is still a little behind when it comes to, you know, the police and stuff of that nature, but also it also starts at the top no matter what. So if they don't want it to be seen, they're going to continue to hide it until somebody bring it to their attention. So, I mean, they bought them because they got the money to buy them, but now you got to put them on. So that's really the community now holding them accountable, you know, and now getting out there and getting them to put them on. So that's just, you know, the community having to come together, work together, go to the meetings and get them put on them. But like he said just a minute ago, when they, you know, don't nobody want to shine a light when you're doing wrong. So you can get away with a lot when you stick to, you know, the old school system. You can move stuff around. You can shuffle some paperwork. You can get away with a whole lot when it's not up to date. So I think for me, just looking outside, looking in, that's be my first thing. Not where the money went. Like, why aren't we doing what you said we was going to do? And, you know, back to the voting, getting on those people, trying to figure it out.
Thank you, RJ, and thank you, Mahogany. Well, this has been a very thought-provoking discussion, and I do hope that our listeners have enjoyed this roundtable as much as I have. And thank you, Mrs. Mahogany and Mr. RJ and Miss Natanya, for joining our show this week. I'm Christina Michelle. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Thank you. plants and grass. Ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha anikak gunil cheesh.
Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. Today in Black History, we recognize May C. Jemison, who on this day in 1993 was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame for becoming the very first African-American woman to be admitted into NASA's astronaut training program and to take flight into outer space. I would also like to thank our guests, Mahogany Magnetic, RJ Bradley, and Natanya again for joining us in the roundtable discussion today on Hot Topics in Black Culture. I just want to give an opportunity for you guys to say anything that you would like to as we close. Natanya, I'll let you go first.
Okay, I had a lot of fun. It was great speaking with like-minded people that just have a different opinion of something maybe I didn't think of before. I'm like, oh, you guys have a point. You know, it's nice to hear other people having a conversation and not like an argument. It's not an argument. It's just, this is my opinion. Okay, that's cool. This is my opinion. You know, it had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Natanya. And can I just say, you have the best voice. I love
Thank
your voice.
You.
I could listen to it all day.
I'll come out with an audiobook.
RJ, how about you? Any closing remarks?
I just want to thank you guys for having me. It was fun. You know, like, I haven't been to Juno in forever, so it was good being able to get back in touch with some of you guys, see you guys talk. So I have fun. Keep the topics coming. You know, call me back whenever you need me. I'm here. So, but I did have fun.
We definitely will do that. Thank you so much, RJ. So happy that you joined us. And Mahogany Magnetic, anything you'd like to share in closing?
Yeah. This culture-rich conversation is good. We need more of this. And I'm like looking forward to like, you know, every week and stuff, tuning in to see, you know, who else is here. But these conversations are important to us. They're important to our identity. This conversation on representation, you know, gender roles, you know, where we are in film and media, and how do we see ourselves reflected in all that, you know, and yeah, and them police need to wear their body cams, you know, call it a day.
Mahogany, can you take just a minute and share about the organization that you're part of, Black Alaskan Arts Matter?
Yeah, bam. You know, Black Alaskan Arts Matter. That's what it is. And, you know, we was born in 2020, you know, and there was a response. There was a call from the Perseverance Theater there in Juneau to have a Black Arts exhibition. So I responded to that. So with a couple other people who we all became curators. So myself, Alyssa Quintin, and Amable Rosa, became the first like three curators of the Black Alaskan Arts Matter exhibition. And what we are is we are virtual. Right now we exist in virtual space. And we've done two exhibitions in which we've like showcased, like, I think we over like 40 Alaskan artists. And it, you know, and what we're doing is we're providing a platform that doesn't exist, that didn't exist statewide. So That has been good. And so we don't just look at visual artists, but we have poets, we have performing artists. We look at content creation as art. So all of those things, and then like building support and network with other Black artists throughout the state is what we're about. So it's like, oh my gosh, it's good stuff. And I'm just like proud to be, you know, curating, you know what I'm saying, 2 years in a row. It's always been my dream to be an art curator. And, you know, here I am living the dream. But yeah, shout out to BAM, Black Alaskan Arts Matter. You know, be on the lookout for us and some wonderful things.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mahogany.
Thank you.
We appreciate our listeners for being here with us, and we look forward to hearing any feedback you may have for us. If you want to reach the Black Awareness Association, Association of Juno. Our email address is junobaa@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook just by searching junobaa. And if you would like to mail something to us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 33734, Juno, Alaska. The zip code is 99803. Today's producer was Natasha Boozer. And we will meet again next week. In the meantime, may your life be blessed and flow with ease. I'm Christina Michelle. Thank you for joining us today.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund grant program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
Support for Juno Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klinkit & Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.